Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's summer golf wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Good on you, Wallace. Thanks very much. So, golf time. How are you going? Have you been out and playing? It's been perfect weather for it.
Yeah, well, I've been deep in pennant practice. I actually had a practice match against my rival club, Kionga Golf Club, on Sunday. So I was out playing golf and it was stunning, but by God, was it windy.
Where did you play?
We played at Kionga Golf Club.
How's that looking, knowing that the Women's Australian Open is only, what, a month away?
Yeah, look, it's looking great. I think Kionga always looks great. I've never really played it when it doesn't. So nothing out of the ordinary. What I will say is their greens are a little bit longer than what I was expecting, probably because of the heat. So they're probably in protection mode. So it's the first time that I've ever got spin at Kionga in my life, and I was thoroughly enjoying it. It was a bit of a change, and a nice change, actually.
Yeah. Asking how Kionga is looking is like asking what is the greatest supermodel of all time looking like after a full day of hair and makeup. Pretty spectacular. It normally looks, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Always spectacular. It's a 6'4" blonde, tall supermodel. I can't believe you even bothered asking me that question. Of course, Kionga looked great. I even got an email from the Kionga Golf Club after I'd played, thanking me for visiting and letting them know and asking for any feedback on the golf course, which I think must be one of their auto-generated emails. I don't think I was a special person who got that, but I thought very clever, very nice, a nice touch.
And what was your feedback? Give them any advice along the lines of whatever you do, just let Royal Adelaide win the pennant competition this year?
That's exactly what I should have done, but I actually thought I'd just leave it. Let that one lie. I'll let them work out their own things that they need to work on. But yeah, look, a Royal Adelaide win would have been nice. Unfortunately, we got done by one game. Nevertheless, it was great fun. I loved every moment. Seeing some of those Kiwi girls I haven't seen in a while. And I got Matilda Miles, who I happen to play in pennant basically every single year. It doesn't matter where I move in the order. She seems to move with me. So it was good playing her again and having a bit of banter and having a bit of fun. My mum actually was on my bag and she gave her a bit of banter on the first hole, which I said to mum, probably shouldn't be coming from the caddy, but I admire it anyways.
the caddy's getting a bit lippy.
Yeah, it was
in a practice match.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I'd drained a 20-footer for birdie on the first hole and Matilda had about a 15-footer and my mum just looked at her and went, gee, you must be nervous over this one now.
Oh, no.
Brilliant.
Did she – I believe you got up, is that right? You had a
– yeah.
I mean, low stakes, of course. I know that you're not going to be putting too much onto it, but always nice to finish ahead rather than behind. Did mum have a couple of parting words?
She didn't have any parting words. We did get up. I won one up on 18, which is always nice. It's another thing that I said, Matilda, actually on the 18th green. I said, why do our games always go, if not to the last hole, but to extra holes? And she said, because we're both competitive B words. Yeah. And that's why it always gets here, because it doesn't matter how bad we're playing. We'll still nut out and go our best to try and get a win. But I will say, to Matilda's credit, she actually sunk that 15-footer on the first hole and gave my mum some chatter back. So it was brilliant.
Magnificent. Give us some Sophie Star action for this week.
Yeah, so Sophie Star for me was a no-brainer. It's South Australian Caitlin Pearce. We've been speaking about her on this podcast in the last few weeks. She shot 12 under down at Royal Adelaide not that long ago. And look, her game is trending so well leading into the Women's Australian Open, which will be at, like you said, at Kionga. She's had a top 10 finish at the WebEx Murray River. It was unbelievable. She's probably slightly disappointed with her final round. She did finish even par for that round, but it was really her third round, I think, which was a 64, 7 under. No blemishes, one eagle, five birdies. I played against Caitlin. I played with Caitlin. She's an absolute beautiful girl, but God, she's a power player. She has this ability to bully a golf course, and it's when she's on, it's incredible to watch. And by God, is she on at the moment? So, Caitlin Pearce, Sophie Star.
Good choice, Soph. She played the first hole, which is a shortish par five, to be fair. She played it in 6 under for the week, birdied it twice, and the other two times she eagled it. That's something pretty special, isn't it? I spoke to her coach, Tony Christie, this morning, who I saw out and about. He said, yeah, she, very, very pleased with how she's going. The one point that Tony made that I thought was interesting and something that we probably don't quite understand in professional golf is Tony said he hated Fridays. He hated the feeling of knowing that you've got to play well to try and make the cut. Whereas that's something that does not faze Caitlin at all. She feels very, very confident about not just making the cut, but going and having a really profound effect in the tournament. And that stood out. So her second round was a 65. So 64 was her round of the week, the third round. But her second round, don't discount that. She had two bogeys, but she had two eagles and four birdies in that round as well for 65. So the fact that she doesn't get fazed by some of the littler things in golf that Tony said by his own admission he does struggle with a little bit. Yes, she'll be disappointed with that final round, and she was looked like she was going to be the low woman in the competition. Lydia Hall went nuts on day four. We know what a star she is, the Welsh woman who won the Vic Open. But yeah, Caitlin Pearce, very, very exciting. Looking forward to seeing her in a couple of the big tournaments for the week. But coming up across the next month when the New South Wales Open, the WPGA Championship, and of course the Women's Australian Open at Cooyonga gets underway, which starts on the 12th of March.
Just for the record, yeah, I think so. Just for the record, Hookie, I didn't discount her second round, just so our listeners know. I just wanted to make a note that her third round was unbelievable, but her second round was also incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you were throwing shade on the second round because the third one was a little bit better. But it was just fascinating for me. The minute that Tony talked to me about Fridays, I wanted to see what she'd done on that Friday. And, of course, she'd two eagles, four birdies. It's a decent day out. Ben's best for this week, Soph. I just want to give a big thumbs up and all the best to Rowan Damond, who is the course superintendent at the Grange Golf Club. He has put South Australian golf on the map with what he has done with Grange, in particular in the lead up to the LIV courses. It has always been absolutely beautifully prepared. This is his final opportunity to do this particular tournament before it heads to Cooyonga in 2027. But I just want to give a pat on the back to Rowan. You know, we talk about Nathan Bennett at Royal Adelaide. There are some absolute stars in the greenskeeping and the superintendent game here in South Australia, but Rowan is up amongst the absolute best of them. He'll be overseeing the course to make sure it's absolutely pristine for LIV, which is here in just over a week's time. So I'm very excited to see Grange in all its glory for the final time, and it will be because Rowan Damond puts some absolutely perfect finishing touches on it. So,
yeah, look, I love this Ben's Best, but I'm just going through the constitution at the moment for Ben's Best, Sophie Starr. It's the first superintendent, not a player, not an athlete. I'm not sure, Hookie. I'm not sure, but I'll let this one slide just because I'm excited for LIV Adelaide.
We are a broad church, Ben's Best. We take from all walks of life, Soph. And, hey, superintendents, very, very important part of golf courses. Without superintendents, where every shot's in the rough.
100%. Look, I don't disagree here, but I'm just trying to find the wording that allows this to happen. But Ben's Best, there's no rules, no laws. It's just free for all. If it was up to you, you'd be all driving around drunk. Like, it's free for all over that side of the fence.
It's a bit like when I'm vice captain of a scramble team and decide just to overrule the captain. The rules will be what I want them to be when I want them to be. So let's move on. And we are going to start by talking about, I guess, the maybe even crisis that is enveloping around LIV Golf at the moment. It has been, by any measure, a very, very poor stretch for LIV Golf for some reasons under its control and some completely outside of its control. They've lost two of its big stars. Brooks Koepka has returned to the PGA Tour. Patrick Reed has refused to sign on for this year and is returning to the DP World Tour. We've learned in the last 24 hours that Phil Mickelson will not be coming to LIV Riyadh or LIV Adelaide. So that is a huge loss to the field. And you think about all of the people who've bought tickets in good faith to see these incredible players, and three of the biggest names of the competition aren't going to be there. And that's extraordinarily sad. And then you compare that to what we've seen on the PGA Tour, and their three tournaments have been won by Chris Goddard, who is a bit of a rising star of the game. We saw Scottie Scheffler win last week, and now Justin Rose, you know, one of the all-time greats of golf, winning as well. So it just feels like Liv, for a myriad of reasons, has had a really terrible week. Are you feeling like maybe this is the beginning of the end for the format of the game?
I probably wouldn't say it was the beginning for the end. I think everyone's kind of been saying the end maybe coming. A lot of the players haven't looked particularly excited when they've been playing Liv, like pretty obvious watching John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. So I probably wouldn't lean to say it was the beginning, but I think it was definitely a hit. When Liv first came about, there was an article that I read recently about how it was like a risk v money kind of situation for the players. And it really shone. It shone like they got some big names. Obviously, they got Bryson DeChambeau. They got Dustin Johnson at the time. And it was huge. And it was a huge loss for the PGA. But now these big names returning and not even hiding at the fact that they're returning. I mean, P. Reed was interesting. He didn't actually say why he wasn't. It was just a blanket, I couldn't reach an agreement with Liv. But I don't know. Maybe Liv didn't want P. Reed. I doubt that is the case, but maybe that is the reason. But I'm curious to see, maybe the reason was they didn't have enough money to offer P. Reed for him to turn down going back potentially to the PGA. I know Liv is in a bit of, well, not Liv, the Saudis are in a bit of an interesting area. Normally they just throw money at things, but they actually seem to be tightening up that pool at the moment. And maybe Liv is starting to tighten up as well. It's going to be an interesting year with a lot of contracts running out, DeChambeau, Rahm, all of those big shot names, which makes Liv entertaining and people wanting to go and see Liv. If they don't have the money to fund those big players, it's curious as to where Liv will be going from here.
I do think Liv has quite a good band of players in their 20s. Sam Horsfield, Joaquin Neiman, Matthew Wolf. Interesting, I'll put a question mark over where Matthew Wolf's career is. David Puge, Elvis Smiley, the Queenslander, Tom McKibben, Jose Ballester, Caleb Surratt, Michael Assasso was the big new signing this year. So I feel like they have this good group of 20-somethings who could become something. But I think the problem that Liv has had is that all of the big star power signings that they brought in has never really translated, certainly in the American market, to great crowds and great TV ratings. And yeah, I feel like they're going to either have to make a pretty serious pivot and become something that they are not currently, and that is probably like a world tour where they're trying to garner the rising stars that are coming through from nations outside of the United States. Because right now, what it feels like to me they're sort of heading towards is becoming PGA Tour light. They're going to 72 holes because they're chasing a WGR. They're trying to create, you know, they're constantly moving the goalposts with their teams and with the way they have lock zones and relegation zones and all of those sorts of things, that they're trying to set themselves up as this league, but at the same time trying to reflect what they think OWGR needs them to be. And as a result, I just don't know that their whole disruption tactic, which is what they came out to be in the first place, is really anything that it's cracked up to be. So, yeah, I do feel like they're either going to have to pivot significantly and become something they are not currently. And that is probably a league where you're paying not the 50-100 million to the big name stars, but to try and find that next band and get them involved in a league that way where they're well paid when they perhaps aren't going to get an opportunity on the PGA Tour. I mean, that is contracting a little bit, and I think there is a market for that. But the big money, big stars, I think we have to accept globally, has been a bit of a flop this time around, and I don't know how much longer Liv is going to fund it in that manner.
Yeah, 100%, because the big names is what your average golfer goes out to watch. Like, if you looked at Liv Adelaide, which, let's be honest, is the only successful Liv tournament that there has been. It's the only one that really makes any money for the tour. It's the big names. It's the Cameron Smiths of the world, the Mark Leishmans, the Bryson DeChambeau, the Phil Mickelson, the Ian Poulter even still gets a bit of a crowd. It's those people. Whilst I agree with you, there's a lot of 20-year-old rising stars that are on the Liv tour. If they're not playing on the PGA and they're not playing on the DP World Tour, no one's going to know who they are. And I don't think they're performing enough on Liv for people to get that spark that people need to go out and watch golf like that.
The other thing I think will be interesting to see, Soph, is if certainly the Ripper model, so the Live Adelaide model was the Ripper team that we all got behind and supported, and they're trying to set up a similar type of arrangement in Korea, in South Africa, in England with the Magics, the Majestics. We've got the Korean Golf Club and all of these teams being renamed, the Spanish team. And I think there's some merit in that. I think we all admire a little bit of that jingoistic nationality and supporting your own Australian team or your own Spanish team. So I think that makes some sense to me as well. But I just feel like they've always been a bit half pregnant with this team's concept. If you're going to play team's golf, it really probably should be more match play.
Yep.
That's what I would probably suggest they do. Make some genuine individual tournaments and then some genuine team match play tournaments. And I would like to see those two working hand in hand. A lot to work through, though, with Liv. And here's the interesting question, Soph. What would you do now if you were the South Australian government and you're starting to think, I don't know if Liv is going to be in any sort of format, let alone the format that it came when it first arrived 3.5 years ago? Is it going to be the sort of thing that we want to spend $45 million to do up a city golf course for?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Look, I hope the answer is yes, because I actually think having a good city public course is really important and would be amazing for the state. Yep. So put Liv aside, even if Liv wasn't happening, I've always thought that North Adelaide could be a lot better. There could be a driving range there, a proper driving range that you can go. It's not just the first hole. I think the North Adelaide members deserve that as well. They've been putting up with a fair bit of, you know, controversy and media attention. It would be a shame to see that completely go down the drain just because Liv's decided not, or maybe not decided, but if Liv crashes and they don't make it to whenever it is, 27, 28, it would be a shame to see that go under.
And that's what the Parklands should be about, right? I mean, I love the Parklands, but I love the fact that they are properly utilised. I get a bit frustrated when I see there are sections of the South Parklands, Soph, that are borderline scrub, unusable, uninhabitable, unpleasant. And then you've got these beautiful, you know, that beautiful golf course that can become even more beautiful again. It's going to cost a lot of money to do it. I think about, you know, the Adelaide Bowling Club. I think about the Botanic Gardens. I think about a lot of the sports fields that are really nicely done in and around the Parklands. And I think to myself, that is what good public space is all about. So having a really good golf course on our Parklands, I think should be a part of our Parklands. Having good sporting venues and good change rooms that are usable as well. I think all of that should be part of a parkland, in particular a parkland like what we've been able to establish in Adelaide. I don't want them built on top of, but I certainly think that parkland space should be modernised and used for things like this. So I certainly hope that still does go ahead regardless of where Liv ends up. So,
yeah, 100% couldn't agree more.
Let's move on and start to talk about some tournaments. The PGA Tour, they're at the Torrey Pines South and North course. One round on the North, three rounds on the South. Justin Rose, absolutely dominant, took it out by 7. That's a really impressive performance from a 45-year-old who's been in and around the scene for in excess of 20 years now. So,
yeah, I have so much admiration for Justin Rose. I mean, 45 and still competing on the PGA and competing like that is a huge win. He actually sent the tournament scoring record, which was set by George Burns in 87. I think it was 22 under. Tiger Woods matched that in 99. Imagine having your name next to Tiger Woods. Justin Rose has beaten that course record, which is just incredible at 45. So I actually loved watching this. I love watching Justin Rose. I love the passion that he has for the game. He's not going anywhere. He missed the cut at the last tournament and has turned around and gone and won this event. He's been working hard. He's been gaining speed. He's been gaining distance. And at 45, I think that's super impressive. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon if he has anything to say about that. I thought the other interesting things was Brooks Koepka, first tournament back to the PGA, just speaking about Liv. He's made the cut 2 under. His putter was a bit cold. I will say he probably hasn't had to feel the pressure of making the cut with those small putts in a while. But look, super interesting, good start for him. So very excited about that. Very excited to see Brooks Koepka back on the tour. I think he made some interesting comments saying that there's been a bit of a turnover on players and there's a lot of people on the driving range that he didn't recognise.
Yeah, Justin Rose, only the one major, I think 14 PGA Tour, no, 12 PGA Tour wins now. Has some wins in Europe as well, of course. But in the last 3 years, he's had four top tens in majors, which you think about the depth of field in majors and the fact that he's still standing up. I mean, he was a stroke. He made a bit of a sloppy bogey on 17 at the 2025 Masters. And, you know, here we are still rejoicing about what Rory McIlroy managed to do with the career Grand Slam. I mean, that was one stroke away either side from it being Justin Rose's. Well, he would have spoiled a fair old party, wouldn't he? But I feel like he probably warrants a second major somewhere along the way. And I think he's probably got a little window of about three or four more years where he's got the opportunity to do it. He's driving at a mile at the moment. His iron play is solid and his putting is exceptional. So he's going to be one to watch despite his age. And the way he looks after himself as well, Soph, he is extraordinarily fit. He's dedicated to his health and fitness. And we're seeing that more and more with the top end athletes. Novak Djokovic is a great example of someone who is fastidious with the way he cares for his body and is still getting it done as a 38-year-old as well. So, yeah, it was a fascinating performance from Justin Rose, who I think solidifies himself as number three in the world. And when you think it's Scheffler 1, McIlroy 2, to be three in the world ahead of everyone else and behind only those two, exceptional performance. Let's turn our attention to the DP World Tour. They're off to Bahrain. Freddie Schott survived. What was one of the more bizarre playoffs? Three-way playoff between Schott, Callum Hill and Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed made a bogey on the first extra hole, which left the two of them. And Callum Hill played at one of the most... It's like I played that second playoff hole, Soph. He hit the biggest snap hook drive and then hit a shank iron that ended up in the water. And Freddie Schott, quite remarkably, I've never seen this before for a playoff, didn't even have to putt out. Callum Hill just conceded the whole event in the end. It was bizarre. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever seen it. It was just a train wreck unfolding on that second playoff hole. It was actually kind of it was a bit heartbreaking having to watch. And then, you know, I think it was his sixth shot onto the green that he just chips up and just goes, nah, you can have the hole. I don't want this to continue. It actually reminded me of some of the match play I play in Pennant, where you're just like, this is humiliating enough. Let's just move on to the next hole or move on to the next tournament. Yeah, it's fine. You're done. But look, no, I was actually really excited that shot won. He was, I think, two back after 54 holes. So it was a good final round to get him back into the mix and to get into that playoff. It was actually the maiden win for the Ping prototype mini driver, which I thought was quite cool. This guy hits this guy hits it a minor and had the mini driver in play because he hits his driver too far, which I thought Hookie will love that, that he's had to go to the mini driver with the distance debate that he keeps bringing up.
We might get onto that at some point as well. LPGA. Nelly Korda won an event that she didn't have to hit a stroke in the final round. I'm chewing lemons on this one a bit. What did you make of what happened at Lake Nona?
It's an interesting one. Nelly Korda obviously won. She was up there with Scottie Scheffler. There was a comparison going on in 2024 when she had seven LPGA wins. And I can't remember what it was in a row, five or six, something absolutely ridiculous. Then went on to 2025 and didn't win a single tournament, which got everyone talking about it. And a first win is a 54-hole event. It's just interesting. Puts an asterisk on it for me, if you want my honest opinion. She obviously had an amazing third round. I can't remember what she shot at the 64. Top of my head. I think it was 64, 8 under, which was 9 shots in the average for the field. So incredible performance in that cold and that wind. It really showed her grit. It showed what Nelly Korda could do, which we missed in 2025. But, I mean, there were still players that could have come out on the Sunday. And after playing in that cold and that wind, who knows whether or not she could have kept it up. Anything could have happened in those conditions. So I'm a little bit disappointed that the final round didn't get played. It's unprecedented. I don't really know what to say about it. I'm a bit speechless, actually, Hookie.
This is not a serious sporting league if this is the way you react to some adverse weather conditions. And I can see you sort of laughing at me across from behind your own microphone there, Soph. But this is one of the most embarrassing and shameful decisions I've seen from an organization that calls itself a professional sport. Yes, it was cold. the players complained a little bit about it being cold, and all of a sudden they call the tournament off? I mean, we can't be serious, can we? I think this is probably a pretty good example. When the LPGA has to put out not one, but two statements to try and explain what happened, all while the celebrities who were playing as part of this event went out, played, and said, this is perfectly playable. The LPGA just looked stupid, I reckon. In particular, when they had national free-to-air television coverage for the afternoon, and they've just walked away from it. There is no other league that would allow their players just to have a free day off just because it was a little bit cold. I was stunned by the decision. It's not as if they couldn't have just played it on a Monday when the weather was better. There's no more LPGA Tour events for two more weeks, and they're not in Asia, and half the field isn't going to go there anyway. This is an unserious organisation doing unserious things. And look, I know there are some challenges around the fact that they don't like to set things up tough because they want the girls to be able to make birdies like the boys make a lot of birdies. But again, it's a bit like what I was talking about with Liv going to PGA Tour Lite. Don't try and become PGA Tour Lite. It's not actually a method to success. They would be far better off. I mean, you and I have talked about the Women's British Open when Lydia Ko hit a 3-wood into the 17th at the old course and saying that's one of the most incredible shots we've ever seen. We need to see more of that. We actually need to see the women playing these courses as they're supposed to be played. The men's game's gone, right? The men's game, it's just smash driver everywhere, and you may as well, your other 12 clubs in your bag, one putter and your other 12 clubs may as well all be wedges, right? That's just how the men play the game now. But the women actually play the game with long irons and with hybrids and hitting woods into greens. And I think that's something that they should lean into. Instead, we get these decisions, oh, it's a bit cold for the girls. Everyone go and have the afternoon off. It's embarrassing for a league that is the peak professional women's sporting code, and this is what they dish up. I think they should be ashamed.
Yeah, fair enough. Just so we're clear, it wasn't just a little bit cold. It was extremely cold, but look, and very windy, and balls weren't stopping on greens from the looks of some of these holes. But look, I understand where you're coming from. I do agree. I am a bit speechless on it, but I cannot wait for the next blizzard, and I'm going to be like, Hooky, get out there. Get to that course. I don't care. It's snowing. Off you go.
Oh, when I'm a professional golfer playing for a couple of million, I will be out there and playing. I promise you that much, Soph. Let's come a little bit closer to home. You've already touched on it because Caitlin Pearce finished in a tie for 10th at the WebEx Series River Murray in honour of Jared Lyle. Fantastic tournament once again, Soph. Some real low scoring. The winner was Hayden Barron, the Western Australian, finished at 22 under. Really pleased for Hayden. He looks like the sort of guy, I don't know if he's going to go beyond the Australasian PGA Tour. He's been in and around the mark a few times, but by his own admission, he says he gets pretty nervous. He said he could see his putter shaking as he was trying to make the four-footer to win the tournament on that final hole there. But it's a great result for Hayden, a really great tournament as well. So if I watched a fair bit of this and enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did love this one. You're probably being a bit quick to judge on Hayden. I know he had a couple of health issues, so he hasn't been playing as much golf as he would have liked. So, look, who knows where he'll be going, but it was an excellent win, an excellent maiden win. He was really good to watch, actually. I loved watching him play. His pace control on the greens was awesome, particularly it was quite windy up at the Murray on that Sunday. So I loved watching it. He had a lot of composure, particularly for someone who said he was so nervous. I did have a giggle when he said he could see his putter shaking and it was the biggest 2.5-footer he's ever had in his life. But you know what? He held it, so I loved watching it. And he actually credited it a lot to the leaderboard and said he was pleased that he had to keep pushing and that he was getting chased, and that's probably what got him over the line.
Couple of other scores of note. So Curtis Luck in a tie for 6th. Great to see him back up amongst the top of leaderboards. Of course, a guy who played the Masters as an amateur about 5 or 6 years ago. Cameron John was also in a tie for 6. Now, Cam John is by far and away the leader of the order of merit at the moment. We know the big ticket item, the DP World Tour card that you can get for that at the end of the year. So he's traveling very nicely. Was great to see another couple of names, Harrison Crowe in a tie for 10th alongside Caitlin Pearce. and Jeffrey Gwan in a tie for 14th as well. So just a couple of the names that stood out to me. Perhaps, Soph, you can take us through the South Australians that jumped off the page for you who had a good week.
Yeah, so lots of South Australians in the field, which is always great to see, seeing as it was in the home state. We had Caitlin Pearce, like we said, at top 10, minus 14, or T10, I should say. Wade Ormsby at tied 18, Jack Thompson, T28, Jack Carter, T35, Adam Bland, T46. And then we also had Lockie Barker, Peter Cook and Crystal Blum, who unfortunately didn't make the cut, but an incredible showing for the South Australian golfers.
Yeah, I think the cut, where was it? Two under or something like that, wasn't it? It was
Yeah, it was tough field.
It was tough going, yeah. So the scoring was very good. So, yeah, another good showing all around from the South Australian, Soph. The big news of the last 24 hours, Soph, is that Hannah Green has signed up for the Women's Australian Open and the Women's PGA Championship as well. So going to be great to see Hannah back in action at Cooyonga.
Yeah, incredible. I actually remember watching Hannah Green when it was last at Cooyonga at the Australian Open. You can see it on YouTube. Minji Lee was also there and they both played amazingly. Loved watching everything. It was Jin Young Ko ended up getting the win. But look, I'm pleased to see that Hannah Green signed up, but I'm also not shocked. I expected she would be there. She was one of the main ticket items that I think should be out there playing, and she'll be great to see play Cooyonga. It's a course she's played before, and I think she'll go really well around that track with the power that she has off the tee.
Take us out with a practice hack, Soph.
Yes, my practice hack, they're always pretty simple. I don't make the game that complicated, or at least in my head it's complicated. I try to keep it simple. Whenever you're going through changes, I see people always just wanting to hit ball after ball after ball. My thing is dry drills. I think if you're working on something, the thing you have to do is actually do that drill in slow-mo to try and get that action, exaggerate it. So my thing for everyone is actually hitting balls is not often the way you need to go about it. It's actually doing some dry swings and doing it in slow-mo so that your muscles get used to that movement. So when you do go to hit the ball, it's not a foreign concept.
Brilliant, Soph. Love it. Now, just to wrap up, those of you who are regular listeners, you'll know that we do a weekly golf show and a fortnightly cricket show. We are going to, well, you know, separate the kids, aren't we? We decide that they're not behaving all that well together. And we're going to keep the golf show on this platform, and we're going to give you every opportunity. If you want to keep listening to our cricket, we'd love you to do so, but we might move that to a slightly different platform. It'll still be able to find it on Apple and Spotify, but it might be a different subscription stream because we want to give you the opportunity. If you just want golf, we're just going to give you golf on this platform. If you just want cricket, you can find it on the other platform. If you want both of them, then come and join us a couple of times over the course of, well, three times over the course of 2 weeks. And we'd love to have you on our cricket channel as well as our golf channel. That about right, Soph?
That is about right. I'm actually really excited. We've got a few things in the works at the moment, Hooky, with Wallace, and I'm keen to see where this is going to lead us in the next few months. I'm very excited. We're making a couple of changes, and I think they're going to be great for the podcast, great for our listeners. And I think separating the two is a great idea. I know not everyone's a cricket fan, not everyone's a golf fan, so it gives our listeners an opportunity. But look, I'd love to have them on board for every single sport that we ever talk about. We have a great touch on South Australians, but big things ahead for us, Hooky. I'm excited. A lot of learning for us to do in the tech world, which I'm also excited for, considering half the time we don't even know how to leave the Zoom call. But it's got to be a big week of learning. I'm going to be watching the Australian Amateur, which I'm also excited for this week, which is getting played over in Perth. And I've just seen on my phone Reagan Denton is already warming up at Western Australian Golf Club. So I'm excited for the Aussie Am. It's an event I've played in a lot of times. I don't think I've ever made the cut there, which is a common theme with my amateur career, unfortunately.
Red hot field.
Yes, red hot field, always incredible. I think it was my second ever national event I ever played in, and I was completely terrified when I did. I saw the big scoreboards and I was playing with two girls who didn't even speak English, and that's the first time for me experiencing that. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what our South Australians do, but also what our other Australian amateurs do, because by golly, have we got some talent coming through.
Oh, I don't know that you're having a chip at someone for their language on a golf course. You had a chip at me about that not so long ago. You played with me and I didn't speak English for much of that round either.
Yeah, well, your language was a bit more foul. Their language is actually just their native tongue. It's a bit different.
Brilliant, Soph. So, yes, hopefully a lot of things coming up. Pennant previews, they are on their way. We've already cobbled a couple together. We've got a couple more to come. Of course, the season starts on the 22nd of February. And the big Glenelg reveal that we promised you was coming last week, well, we failed, but we promise you is coming this week for absolute sure. So that's going to be a great listen in as well. All of our reviews, our insights, our thoughts, and also some expert opinion on the new Glenelg golf course. And that will be out almost certainly later this week. Pretty confident, Soph.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident as well. But look, we wanted to do it justice because the Glenelg Golf Club were so incredible in hosting us. The course is amazing. So we want to get it just right. And you know what? If that takes a bit of time, it's well worth the wait.
So always great talking golf with you. We'll do it all again next week.
100%. Have a good one, Hookie.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.